I give a non-committal shrug and cup my elbows in my hands, hugging them close to my body. I have to bury the real pain, because who's going to bet on a tribute who keeps sniveling over the deaths of her opponents? Rue was one thing. We were allies. She was so young, but no one will understand my sorrow at Thresh's murder. The word pulls me up short. Murder? Thankfully, I didn't say it out loud. That's not going to win me any points in the arena. What I do say is, it's just, if we didn't win, I wanted Thresh to, because he let me go, and because of Rue.
Yeah, I know, says Peeta, but this means we're one step closer to District 12.
He nudges a plate of food into my hands.
Eat. It's still warm.
I take a bite of the stew to show I don't really care, but it's like glue in my mouth and takes a lot of effort to swallow. It also means Cato will be back hunting us.
And he's got supplies again, says Peeta.
He'll be wounded, I bet, I say.
What makes you say that? Peeta asks.
Because Thresh would never have gone down without a fight. He's so strong. I mean, he was. And they were in his territory, I say.
Good, says Peeta. The more wounded Cato is, the better. I wonder how Foxface is making out.
Oh, she's fine, I say peevishly. I'm still angry she thought of hiding in the cornucopia, and I didn't. Probably be easier to catch Cato than her.
Maybe they'll catch each other, and we can just go home, says Peeta. But we better be extra careful about the watches. I dozed off a few times.
Me too, I admit. But not tonight. We finish our food in silence, and then Peeta offers to take the first watch. I burrow down in the sleeping bag next to him, pulling my hood up over my face to hide it from the cameras. I just need a few moments of privacy where I can let any emotion cross my face without being seen. Under the hood, I silently say goodbye to Thresh and thank him for my life. I promise to remember him, and if I can, do something to help his family and Ruse if I win. Then I escape into sleep, comforted by a full belly and the steady warmth of Peeta beside me. When Peeta wakes me later, the first thing I register is the smell of goat cheese. He's holding out half a roll spread with the creamy white stuff and topped with apple slices.
Don't be mad, he says. I had to eat again. Here's your half.
Oh, good, I say, immediately taking a huge bite. The strong, fatty cheese tastes just like the kind Prim makes. The apples are sweet and crunchy.
Mmm.
We make a goat cheese and apple tart at the bakery, he says. Bet that's expensive, I say.
Too expensive for my family to eat, unless it's gone very stale. Of course, practically everything we eat is stale, says Peeta,
pulling the sleeping bag up around him. In less than a minute, he's snoring. Huh. I always assumed the shopkeepers live a soft life.
And it's true. Peeta has always had enough to eat, but there's something kind of depressing about living your life on stale bread, the hard, dry loaves that no one else wanted.
One thing about us, since I bring our food home on a daily basis, most of it is so fresh you have to make sure it isn't going to make a run for it. Somewhere during my shift, the rain stops, not gradually, but all at once. The downpour ends, and there's only the residual drippings of water from branches, the rush of the now overflowing stream below us. A full, beautiful moon emerges, and even without the glasses, I can see outside. I can't decide if the moon is real or merely a projection of the game makers. I know it was full shortly before I left home. Gale and I watched it rise as we hunted into the late hours.